We're starting a new series today on the Psalms. So I'm going to preach on Psalm 1. But first of all, an introduction to the Psalms.
In my opinion, and in many people's opinion, the Psalms are different from other books of the Bible in that they're not so much meant to be studied as prayed or sung. You know, Psalms are basically songs addressed to God. When you read a psalm, you're talking to God, aren't you? You're not talking about God. You're talking to God. And as we said at the beginning, as you read the psalms, the psalmists seem to say anything they like to God. You know, I feel really angry this morning, they'll say. And, you know, why did that man in the BMW just cut in front of me? And because it's always BMWs that do that, isn't it? And sorry if you've got one. And I know some people have got one. And I'm sure you don't do it, but better move on. You know, why do evil people prosper? Why am I so frustrated? How long is it before you go to answer my prayer? And the psalmists are so honest with God. I'm feeling really bitter about things today, the psalmist will say. Come and help me. They cry out. And the psalms are to be prayed and sung rather than studied. Eugene Peterson said, the man who paraphrased the Message Bible, people look into mirrors to see what they look like physically, but if you look into the psalms, you find out what you like spiritually. Because as you read a psalm, you're sort of being confronted with what you're like. What are you like before God? It's like a reality check. A mirror is an excellent way to find out about your physical appearance, but the Psalms are the biblical way to discover ourselves. The Psalms train us in answering God, because God asks us questions as we read the Psalms. And so we bring a different mindset to the Psalms than we do to Scripture. We're learning to pray, not to study. Billy Graham used to say he reads 5 psalms a day. 1 chapter of Proverbs, 5 psalms, and then his other reading as well. 5 psalms a day means in a month, Joe, you're good at maths, 150 in a month. No, 150. Depends how many days in the month you're working off. But
I'm working on
February. But 30 days in the month, you would read right through the book of Psalms every month. That's Billy Graham's practice. That's been ever since he became a Christian. 5 psalms a day and a book of Proverbs. And also, of course, you'd finish the book of Proverbs in a month if you read a chapter from the book of Proverbs. So the psalms train us in answering God. John Calvin said the psalms are an anatomy of your soul. They're an anatomy of all parts of your soul. They look into how your soul is. How's your soul doing? Remember last time I preached, I talked about this idea somebody's got about it. You're carrying a chip in your body that is like a doctor. So something goes wrong in your body, the chip alerts, you know, oh, something's not working, you better do this. And don't fancy it myself. I think, you know, I'm a hypochondriac enough without having a chip telling me something's not worked in your right arm just now, you know. I'd be... Sounds like a recipe for worrying to me. But the Psalms, Calvin said, are an anatomy of the parts of your soul. They tell you how you're doing in your soul, not in your body. So I'm really looking forward to this series. It's a different approach to what we've been doing recently, the Sermon on the Mount. It's searching out who we are, so it's going to ask us questions about ourselves. We're going to be talking to God rather than about God in the Psalms. And it's going to be a reality check on our walk with Him. The early church fathers used to regard the Psalms as a step to contemplation. Talking to God. They're conducive to doing that. Not all Bible passages are suitable for talking to God, aren't they? Or singing to God. me, I don't normally sing Judas went out and hanged himself, you know. That's not the sort of passage you would use in worship, is it? But the Psalms, tailor-made for singing back to God. Monks have done it down through the ages, and we can do it now. So when talking to God, you can tell him exactly how you feel. You can tell him if you're frustrated with evil people prospering. You know, if you read one of these papers like the Daily Express or the Daily Mail, there's plenty of fuel in there for you to get frustrated with. You know, how many, they work on that. Their stories are based on frustrating you about some court case where somebody didn't get the punishment they deserved, and you know, tell God about it. You can tell him you don't understand things. I don't understand why this is happening. Can you help me, God? You can tell him when you're lonely. Psalm 25, verse 16 says, I'm lonely. God, will you help me? I'm lonely. We can have our minds changed in the Psalms and our spirits changed. Psalm 73 is a classic example of that, where he's complaining all the way through the first half of the Psalm about other people, about the way he's treated. And in the middle, he says, and then I looked in the sanctuary. Then I turned to God. My soul was embittered within me. And then he releases all that and he finishes up, everything's great. I just love you. You're wonderful. Big change, Psalm 73. Your spirit can be changed. You can move from despair to hope. Just reading a psalm and talking it back to God. I'm a strong believer in talking things back to God. Not just reading them like another book, but talking them back to God. And then a higher plane still is if you sing it back to God. We can move from despair to hope. We can move from complaining to adoring, as we said, Psalm 73. We can express delight in his presence, Psalm 16. And we can even finish up saying, and this is amazing, I think, Psalm 119, the longest of the Psalms. You can finish up saying, it was good thing that I was afflicted. He says that in Psalm 119. Verse 71. It was a good thing that you afflicted me. It turned out to be a good thing. How often can you say that? But he says that. He's honest about that. And then we can be thankful because he's rescued us. He's rescued us out of the pit, hasn't he? Psalm 40. He saw me in the pit. I couldn't get out. It was too slimy and sticky. He reached in. He's rescued me and he stood me on a rock. Isn't that great, Psalm 40? I love it. I waited patiently for the Lord. He heard my cry and he lifted me up out of the pit. Stood me on a rock. Okay, well, that's the introduction to the Psalms. Let's look at Psalm 1. It's a short psalm. It's only 6 verses. I'll read through it. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Psalm 1. Psalm 1 isn't actually a prayer. I know I said in the introduction that the Psalms are prayers, and we're to pray them and we're to sing them. This is the one Psalm that isn't a prayer. It's what scholars call a preface to prayer. It provides a kind of entryway to the Psalms, and it's a kind of entryway to prayer. Spurgeon regarded it as the preface psalm. The psalmist's desire is to lead us to blessedness. So,
right at the start of the Psalms, Spurgeon called the Psalms, by the way, the treasury of David. David probably wrote about half of the Psalms. But right at the start, we get a comparison between two ways of living, or between two men, two different people. Blessed is one of them. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. So as we go into the book of Psalms, Psalm 1 offers us a choice of lifestyles right at the beginning. How are you going to live? How are you going to set the tone of your life? Are you going to follow this man's example? Are you going to follow this man's example? We get two clearly defined alternatives. So let's look at them. Let's look at the two different lifestyles. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. The wicked, verse 4, are like chaff that the wind blows away, and the wicked will not stand in judgment, verse 5. Verse 6, the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Well, there's a lifestyle choice. You can be that kind of person, if you wish. You can follow that lifestyle, can't you? So what kind of person is he? He's somebody who mocks. He sits in the company of mockers, verse 1. Or scoffers. Now, I know scoffing has got other connotations. In the last days there shall come scoffers, it says in the Bible. Now, we often joke about that when we're having food. Must be the last days, we're all scoffing. Scoffing has got two meanings, as you know. One's connected with eating. The other one is about being derisory to other people. Scoffing. Do you ever scoff? Not the eating type. Do you ever do the other type of scoff? To scoff is to mock somebody else. It's to treat them with derision. It's to show scorn towards them. And the writer of the psalm warns us against spending a lot of time with people who do that. It says, don't sit in the company of mockers or scoffers. Why? Because if you spend a lot of time with them, you'll start to do it, won't you? You'll start to do the sort of things that the people who you spend a lot of time with do. That's the way life works, isn't it? I find myself talking like people who I'm on the phone to. The other day, my daughter Natalie was asked if she was Scottish. By another Scotswoman, because she suggested the way she was talking, and she must have fooled the Scotswoman, because the Scots lady said, so what part of Scotland are you from? So what do you say there? Well, I'm not the Scotswoman, I'm just talking like you. You find yourself talking like the people you speak to a lot, don't you? Or the people you mix with. There are certain people, I get posher when I'm talking to certain people. When my wife and I went to work in Somerset, before we had any children, I've told you this before, they said, where are you going on your day off? I said, Bath. Oh, Bath. And so the longer we were down there, the more we tried to not sound too different from everybody else, you know. I started to say Bath. And bus, I'm going to get the bus. Instead of the strong Lancashire vowel, bus. I'm getting on the bus and I'm having a jambutty. So the point is we start to become like people that we mix with. So he says, if you spend a lot of time with people who scoff and are scornful of people, you may become like that. Well, some of our spending of time with those kind of people might be watching television programs where that's the way they talk. That the aim of the program is to scoff at other people. And we're to avoid that.
It says it's wicked. Proverbs 15 verse 12 says that mockers resent correction. You can't sort of put them right. You can't say this is the way God wants to be. They don't want to hear that. So don't sit in the company of mockers, it says. And then verse 4, the wicked are like chaff that the wind blows away. Chaff? What's chaff? It's light stuff, isn't it? When you do a harvest, there's bits that sort of float up that aren't worth anything, and the wind blows them away. And the trivial. Imagine God saying you're like chaff. Everything you produce is worthless, really. It's just going to be blown away. At the end of your life, what's your life done? It's worthless. It's trivial. The wicked are like chaff. What they spend their time doing is worthless. It'll be blown away by the wind. It lacks weight. It lacks integrity. When things get tough, trivial people are not much use. You need somebody who's going to be strong and have integrity that you can go to when things get tough. They'll understand. They'll be strong. They won't be blown away by circumstances. And the psalm says that's not a good way to live your life. That everything you do is trivial. I'm not against humour, by the way. Humour's good. I like humour. I like laughing. It's good for you, isn't it? It says in the Bible it's good for your spirit to laugh. It's good medicine. You know, but if everything you do is trivial and light, you're never serious and people can't come to you with issues, then that's a problem. But the wicked are like chaff. The wind blows away what they do. And then the wicked won't stand in judgment, verse 5. The way our character develops in our life is important to God. And if the development of our life is worthless and derisory, and we haven't pursued what the psalmist goes on to say about the good people are pursuing, then, which is delighting in God, by the way, just to put it succinctly, then judgment will not go well for us. The wicked will not stand when judgment comes. And then finally, about the wicked, before we move on to the positive bits, his way leads to destruction, verse 6. Proverbs 14:12 says there's a way that seems right to people, but it doesn't lead to life. It seems right to them, but it leads to death. Proverbs 14:12. And without God opening our eyes, the way we're living seems right. I loved Andrew's testimony. He had his eyes open, really, didn't he? And God opened his eyes for him. That's just fantastic. So what's the godly man like? This is good stuff, what the godly man's like. First of all, he's blessed, verse 1. Interestingly, he starts defining blessedness by what you don't do. Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in step with the wicked. But blessedness, and this follows on so wonderfully from Sermon on the Mount, doesn't it? We've just been doing, blessed are. Blessed are those who mourn for the way they are. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are the merciful. And here we go, Psalm 1, blessed. We start in the next series with the same word, happy are. They have the favour of God upon them. God smiles upon them. Whether you're blessed is not related to your current circumstances, by the way. You can be blessed when you're going through a hard time, because blessing is related to what kind of lifestyle are you living. Are you living, there's two lifestyles here. Which lifestyle are you living? One of them is a blessed lifestyle, and it's based on whether you delight in God or not. Whether you delight in Jesus or not. So the godly man's blessed. He's happy. Spurgeon says, the Bible says, more to the true point about happiness in these simple statements in this psalm than all philosophers do in book after book after book.
So first of all, he's blessed. Secondly, he delights in the law of the Lord. And he meditates on it day and night. So first of all, he's blessed. Secondly, he delights in God's law. This is really the definition of the whole psalm. Blessed is the man who delights in God, in God's law, in the word of God. Blessed is the person who delights in God being in their life. Blessed, happy is the person who loves Jesus. Because wherever it says the law in the Psalms, I take it to mean Jesus. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So wherever it's the word, it's Jesus. So blessed is the man who delights in following Jesus. He delights in talking to Jesus. Who delights in praying to Jesus. Who delights in singing to Jesus. Who delights in living, trying to live the way Jesus lived. Amazing challenge for us. This person, what does he do? He meditates. Doing any meditating this week? Cogitating? He meditates on the word of God. He doesn't meditate on nothing. He doesn't empty his mind. Transcendental meditation tells you to empty your mind. See what comes in. No, meditate on the word of God. Meditate on noble things. All sorts of junk could come in, couldn't it? You just empty your mind and say, right, send it all. Goodness me. I know what my mind is like. We need to meditate on God. Now, I mentioned somebody last week to you who's a bit of a hero of mine. He's dead, of course. Most of my heroes are dead, unfortunately. They were dead before I was born. But this man, Isaac Ambrose, I mentioned him last week to you. He was a Puritan. He lived in the 1600s. He died in 1664. Nobody's ever heard of him, apart from me and a few others. Next year will be 350 years of his death. I'm going to have a celebration. Not because he died, but, you know. Just to remember him. There's just only me turning up, by the way, the celebration. But Isaac Ambrose, I just love the things he did. I've discovered that once a year in May, for a month, he'd say to people, I'm going off into this cabin in the woods, just up near Garstang. And he'd go into this cabin for the month of May and converse with nobody except God. And he'd journal while he was in this woods. And, you know, this book here is a sort of results of his journaling. There's some just gems in here of things that he spent time with God. It sort of fueled him up for the other 11 months of the year when he was being a vicar and a pastor. He was the vicar of Garstang. He was the vicar of Preston before that. And he was ejected from his church in 1662 because of his beliefs. But his delight was in the law of God. His delight was in meditating on God. And I suppose that's why he's a bit of a hero to me, because those days I used to go up on Rivington once a week, spend every Wednesday just me and God. Somebody ring up and say, can you come to this meeting on Wednesday? They say, no, I've got an appointment on Wednesday. My appointment was with God up at Rivington there. And those were blessed days. They need to be revived. Somebody should put on a metro link from here to Rivington. We'll be there in 10-15 minutes. So meditating on the word of God is what defines the man who's blessed. Let's move quickly through. He brings forth fruit. Isaac Ambrose, when he preached and when he went to see his people after those times spent with God, he had so much to give them. He didn't burn out. He was full of God. Whenever he preached, the church was full. They invited him to preach at Preston, and the church would always be full whenever he preached. Horton Towers, we mentioned last week, the family who lived at Horton Towers used to have him there preaching to their neighbours. And he had so much to give to those who went through difficulties in those days. You know, in those days, things were hard, weren't they? The infant deaths were very, very, very high. People always needing a lot of comfort and a lot of support. And they needed to know about the future. They needed to know about eternal life. And he was a great pastor. So the man who's, or the woman who delights and meditates in God's words, brings forth fruit. They bring forth fruit in their lives, their character. They bring forth virtue. They bring forth mercy. They bring forth grace. They bring forth love. They don't wither. Verse 3. His leaf doesn't wither. They don't, you know, they'll yet run out of being a Christian. It's just so sad, isn't it, when you meet somebody who was walking with God 10 years ago and now they're not. Say, how are you doing? Oh, I don't go to church now. I don't believe that stuff anymore. What? Those who spend time meditating on God, you will not wither. You don't want to wither, do you? Sitting in the seat or the council of people who are not good is going to drain you completely. You need to feed on the Word of God constantly to give fuel to your Christian life. He doesn't wither. He prospers. Verse 3, the end of verse 3. Whatever he does, he prospers. What does that mean? I think it means spiritually, he's rich. In spiritual currency, he's rich. He prospers. He's got humility. He's got love. He's got gentleness. He's got goodness. He's got faith. He's got joy. He's got peace. And he's got love to give. He prospers. He doesn't wither. Finally, he's like a tree planted by streams of water. The central metaphor of this psalm is the tree planted by streams of water. How can a person who delights in God be like a tree? Well, think about trees. Trees are great, aren't they? Hot weather, you know. Let's get to some trees. Trees offer coolness, don't they? They offer shade. They offer protection. When it's raining, sometimes you can get away with being under a tree for a bit. When it's lightning, maybe not. But they offer shade. You know, when it's hot, and in these countries it was so hot, wasn't it? You know, I know sometimes you go on holiday and you're sort of trying to get to that building over there, but you've got to walk through the sun to get to it. So you hop from shade to shade because it's nicer in the shade when it's too hot. And trees, that they not only give you shade, they seem to cool it down as well, don't they? Trees are great. Spiritually, that's so important. In Song of Songs, she says, my beloved is like an apple tree. I sat down in his shade with great delight. We can shelter under the shade of Jesus from the heat of all that's going on around us. From the heat of circumstances, from the heat of pressures. You can shelter under Jesus. The soul loves to spend time under the cover of the Lord's branches. It's a place of refreshing and it's a place of tasting fruit. So, conclusion. Two ways of living your life as we come to the book of study the book of Psalms. We're going up to Christmas, by the way. We're just going to get up to around Psalm 42 around Christmas and then probably take a break from the book of Psalms. But I'm really excited about the book of Psalms, and you have a choice of two ways of living. That's what he's setting out here before he goes into each psalm. And the choice for us, and whether we've been Christians a long time or a short time, is to maintain your Christian life by meditating on Jesus. Thinking about him. Jesus, I need you again today. Talk to him. Talk to him every day. Sometimes I think, when did I last actually speak to Jesus? Last Sunday at church? Is that the last time I spoke to Jesus? Okay, I've read a few things about him, but when did I last talk to him? We need to talk to him every day. Meditate on him, the psalm says, day and night. What about when you wake up in the night and you can't sleep? Talk to him. Can't sleep, God. Will you help me get back to sleep? Or do you want to talk to me? I love you. You're great. Now, just talk to me. By the way, what does that mean? By the way, well, not horrible today. Can you help me to deal with my attitude towards you? Smash his teeth. Psalm 3. Smash the teeth of the enemy. Wow, he can say that. He can say that to God. Goodness me. Saves you smashing his teeth, doesn't it, if God does it? It wouldn't be good if you smashed his teeth, but God smashes his teeth. He deserved it, didn't he? Main road's long gone. So let's just close in prayer anyway. Father, we thank you for setting these two alternatives before us, and we ask for wisdom and resolve as we choose the way we're going to live our lives on a daily basis. We may become Christians a long time ago, Lord, but we need to keep resolving to follow you and to spend time with you. Help us to do this, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.